Amen. All right. So before I get into today's scripture reading, I want to just strongly encourage, exhort everyone to seriously consider coming out to our Good Friday service. As a pastor, you know, in some church traditions in the past, there would be a service every week for the final Passion Week because there's so much theological power behind each day. But, you know, we do have Good Friday. And why I encourage people to go to Good Friday if you're going to come to Easter Sunday is that you're not really going to understand what Easter Sunday is about unless you understand the cross first. Many of us like Easter Sunday because we talk about celebration of God's new life, but we don't understand new life fully unless we understand what happened with the cross. And Good Friday is an important time for the church to come and reflect on that. As a result, some pastors, they kind of try and turn Palm Sunday into like a Passion Sunday and sort of get more of that Good Friday feel the week before. But, you know, I appreciate how we have that celebratory, the Palms on Palm Sunday. And as a result, I really encourage you to come Good Friday. So before we go into the Word, let's pray. Lord, I pray that today as we come before the Word of God, that we would humble ourselves and that we would hear what you're speaking to us. Lord, speak what is true through me and speak what we need to hear. Help me, Lord, not to just speak on my own opinion or on my own accord, but help me be led by your gracious Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so what... Because we have such a diverse group in our congregation, I try and teach in sort of different ways. I know some folks really like 3 points. They like to go in and go out. So what? What do we do with their lives? I read this. What do I do with it? I want 3 conclusions. Some folks really like story more. They like to kind of be told a story and kind of reflect on it and go out. Some folks like to have like, you know, read something and then they'll get a reflection out of it. Today is a little different in that I want to kind of work through the account of Palm Sunday. And so what I'm going to be doing is that you're not going to get like a rolling, nicely tied up 3 points, but it will be sort of like walking through the scripture, and I'll be sharing my reflections on the way. And this way, we get to kind of read more of the narrative. And where I want to kind of start is with this whole idea about asking for help. And that's what I want to kind of emphasize today on this Palm Sunday. I really see Palm Sunday as a way for us to ask for help. And maybe some of folks here, a lot of people here are actually very capable, very talented, and it's hard to ask for help. And what I want us to do today is to kind of challenge ourselves. What does it mean to ask God for help? And so I want to jump right into the scripture. So I want to start with verse 5, and it's actually in your insert, but maybe is it okay if we put that on the screen as well? And so what I want to say is that this Palm Sunday is actually a celebration of a very important prophecy that happened in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Basically, the good news is this, is that the people of God are so discouraged, they're in exile, they're far from God. And the good news is that God is sending someone to save them. But it's not quite what they thought. You see, God is going to save us, but it's not quite what we think. And let's look at verse 5, what it says. They quote, actually, the scripture that the prophecy was. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And you see, this is a kind of a very strange statement. I guess we read it and we're so comfortable with it. I don't know if you grew up in Sunday school, but I remember my first memories. There was that board. I forgot, what do you call it? The felt, and you put the felt on there. The flannel board, you know. You always had Jesus, and then you put the little donkey on it. And then you always have in the back this crowd of like really mean-looking Pharisees with these long beards and like these pointy eyebrows. They look really scary. And always you see Jesus, and he's riding on this really cute donkey, and it looks so cute. Everything's so cute. There are these kids who are all behaving properly, and they're all really well-dressed and very clean. And And we got so familiar with that image, we've kind of forgotten the very strange prophecy that was spoken in Zechariah and is now actually fulfilled, reading in Matthew chapter 21. You see, the fact is this, is that God is coming to save, and everyone's getting excited, because if you know what's going on with the people at this time, they're oppressed by the Romans. They're a minority. They don't have any power or influence. And so they're holding on to that Zechariah scripture. They're saying like, oh man, we're waiting. We're waiting for God to save us. But here's a strange thing. How is God going to save us? If you read in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10, it says this after that message. It says that I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. So if I'm thinking, okay, I'm under oppression. I'm going through a really hard time. God's going to save me. I can't wait. He's going to bring in the whole army. He's going to bring in like all the power and all the strength he can muster. And what does this scripture tell us? It says, look, daughter Zion, I am sending my salvation to you on a baby donkey. It's actually kind of offensive and sort of controversial. It's like, what? You're going to save me that way? On a baby donkey? I mean, couldn't you got like a horse or something? But the whole point of this, if you read in Zechariah, is that God is going to be taking away the chariots of Ephraim, the war horses from Jerusalem. Everyone wants the war horses and chariots, right? We all, when we pray, we want the war horses and chariots to come to us. Right? God, I'm going through a really tough time. Send in the war horses and the chariots. Send me the great parade of great trumpeters. But what God has done to what God has done on this Palm Sunday is that rather than the great parade of trumpeters and the king's musicians, he sends a bunch of kids. They don't have trumpets. They just have like a bunch of palm branches. You see, rather than the great war horses and chariots, he sends a baby donkey. Rather than a great, powerful political king, he sends a carpenter's son born in a nobody town called Bethlehem. And what is God trying to do on this Palm Sunday? You see, what we want to discover on this Palm Sunday is that it's a very strange procession for a king. You see, God is trying to prove a point here. A lot of times we call for God's help. We call for God's help, and we're expecting it to turn out the way that we want. We're looking for our expectations to God to save us on our own terms. But God is making a point to say that I work in a way that is not the way you work. He's not about powering through things. He's not about destroying things and making a whole way for you. He's not about burning a path just for you. What God has shown is that God does not work the way the world works. He actually works through humility. He works through our weaknesses. He works through embarrassing circumstances. Other people would look at Jesus and say, oh, Jesus, your PR is terrible. I can't believe you could only find a baby donkey. I mean, couldn't you have ordered something better, like a strong horse? Some people are like, oh, Jesus, why couldn't you find some like esteemed people from the temple to like escort you into the city? These little kids, they're like noisy. They're running everywhere. They're making all this noise. And Jesus is saying, I'm not interested in the way you work. Do you want my help or not? It's going to come in my way, my style. And from the beginning, a lot of people ask for God's help and they don't see it. They're like, I prayed for God's help and I didn't see it. And maybe what Palm Sunday is trying to teach us is that maybe God helps, but he helps in a way that is not quite like what we're expecting. And so who does he help anyways? And that moves us to verse 8. What does it say here? A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And what did the crowds say? What did they shout out? They shouted out these words, Hosanna. And it's interesting how often we say Hosanna. Growing up, I mean, this is a confession of mine, I thought Hosanna means praise him. I thought it meant exalt him. I thought it meant like, you know, praise God in all his power. I thought it was kind of a, you know, a strong, powerful phrase. Hosanna, you know, Hosanna in the highest. Yeah. But you know what Hosanna is? It's a term of desperation. It's a term that says, save us. You know, the first praise song, I appreciate actually the lyrics because it kind of gets it right. It's Hosanna. You know, you are the God who saves us. And as a result, you are worthy of our praises. But this is, can you imagine like all these people running throughout the crowds, just waving their branches, trying to get Jesus' attention, saying, save us, God. This is not a sound of triumph or victory, but of holy desperation. It's a cry unto God for help. And you see, a lot of us, we're thinking and we're looking for God's help. We're wondering, like, where is God? And what this is telling us is that God comes to those who ask for help. You see, why did he come to Jerusalem? Why did he come to this gate? Why did he come in this way? Why did he take this path? Because he came where the children were crying for his help. I remember hearing someone said, well, you know how it says in the Word of God, God helps those who help themselves. And, you know, I just kind of took that for granted. And then as I got older, I was like, wait a minute, the Bible doesn't say that anywhere. Where did this come from, this phrase? God helps those who help themselves. It must have been some tiger mom somewhere saying, like, you know, stop crying to Jesus. You can do it yourself. God helps those who help themselves. I don't know where it came from, you know. But it's that whole sentiment of we live in a world where you make yourself. You know, we live in a world where, like, I did it, so can you. We live in a world where you accomplish things on your own. We live in a world where you have grades. And when you get good grades, you go far. And how do you get good grades? You do it on your own. And this is true to an extent. And, you know, I'm not trying to advocate some kind of teaching to make irresponsible children or irresponsible students. I know some parents might get mad at me. But the fact is, the Bible is telling us, God comes to those who ask for help, who are willing to kind of be a little embarrassed, to say, I can't do it. Who are willing to say, I don't have what it takes, but God, you do. I was often encouraged when I was younger, you know, Sam, these things are impossible for you to do, but they're not impossible for God. And how often have we come to God with our situations and we resent saying Hosanna in our hearts because there's something inside of us that would say, I don't need your help. Or how about, I'll see what I can do and then I'll ask for help. Or, God, I can do this. Just come alongside what I'm already doing. And that last one I find very often. We don't say, Hosanna, God, help us, but we're sort of like, God, we've got this plan in motion. Could you just kind of bless what I'm already doing? You know, we have all these plans about how we plan our futures, our families, our churches, and we have all these kind of things that we've already decided in our hearts. And all that's left for God to do is just to simply bless what we've already decided to do. And then we kind of wonder, why don't we see like that blessing of God? Why don't we see the power of God really moving in our lives? And what God is asking here is that, you know, who's going to come to? You know who the salvation is going to come out to? It's going to come to those who are willing to say, God, I need your help from the beginning. And this is hard for me because I'm all about trying to think like two steps ahead. I'm all about trying to, you know, make sure things are done. I'm always thinking far into the future. But if I don't really stop and say at the beginning, God, Hosanna, help me. And then I kind of just arrogantly sort of assume that God's just going to bless what I've already gone ahead because I was just sort of too lazy or too, you know, God was moving too slow for me. Then we really miss out what God is doing in our lives. You know, it's interesting that many people had saw this parade. The Pharisees were there because we're going to read about them later. But they didn't really experience or encounter Jesus. Because even though they were there at the parade, they were not the ones crying out, Hosanna. And on this Palm Sunday, to encourage us to think about where do we stand in that. In verse 12 to 14, this is, I guess, if I can walk away with a thing that really kind of affected me and talked to me. It's not just about asking God for help, but also to realize that God helps on his own terms. And I like to say, if you read in verse 12 to 14, Jesus enters the temple courts, and what does he do? You see, it's really too bad. Sometimes when I read the translations in the Bibles, they conveniently like label different sections, and I think that's great. But what happens is, as a problem is sometimes they label it right in the middle of a story. And sort of, I kind of liken it to commercials. Have you ever like watched a movie and you're really getting into it, and it's a movie that they try to format for your TV, and you're watching it, and then all of a sudden, bam, out of nowhere, like, spick and span. You're like, what? You know, and it just throws off your attention. When it goes back into the movie, you're like, where were we? And, you know, actually, I really think the reason why I got Aaron to read so much today was because it really is tied in together, this whole story. You see, they're crying out, Hosanna. And so Jesus, he actually comes. And not only comes, but he takes them very seriously. And this is what I want to talk about here, is that when you ask for God's help, you have to realize that God takes it very seriously. You're not just going to ask for help and then just saying, like, well, I did my duty as a Christian. God takes your help, he takes your cries for help very seriously. And sometimes he does things that we're not really prepared for. Sometimes his help means he's going to make our life a little more inconvenient, maybe cause a commotion. And as we read in verse 12 to 14, it might even mean he overturns some tables. It might even mean that the people he's helping might not be directly related to you. If you read in this message, he went in and he upturned the tables of all these people who were selling things in the temple. And people who were selling doves. And Jesus was so upset about this, he just overturned the tables and he said, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. And then after that, he goes to the blind and the lame in the temple, and he heals them. And why do I think this is important? Something that gets kind of lost here is we think, oh, wow, that's terrible that they're doing business in the church. But it's not just about that. If you read some commentaries, it talks about how they made the church a place where not everyone can worship. They started entering these kind of taxes and stuff, where the poor couldn't really afford the sacrifices. And so little by little, I mean, it started off as a good idea, but over generations, it got corrupted. There were the blind and the lame, and as we read in other stories, many people weren't allowed to be healed on the Sabbath because they were trying to keep the rules. Look, no miracles on our Sabbath worship, all right? We're just resting, okay? No holy stuff here, okay? We're just going to rest in God. That's all we do. And, you know, I mean, I guess it sounded good on paper, but they had missed the point. And this is what really spoke to me, was that when we ask for God's help, we have to realize he might come into our lives in a way that we're not expecting, in a way that he might overturn the tables of our convenience. He might overturn the things that we're familiar with, the way that we've always done things. It might mean that he helps people that need to be saved from us. Sometimes we're always thinking that God's on our side, but maybe helping us is like actually kind of rebuking us. And I thought about this, like sometimes I ask for God's help and I'm always asking for God's blessing. I'm always asking for God's, you know, grace on my life. And sometimes grace comes in the form of discipline. Sometimes grace and salvation comes in a stern rebuke. And as we head into this Palm Sunday, I want to encourage us to realize that, you know, this is a day of rejoicing for sure. But if we're really serious about entering into this week, about entering into this salvation that comes from God, are we willing to say, God, come into our temples in our life? Overturn some tables. Change my attitude on things. Because that's how God might be helping you. How often have we asked for God to help us, but we're not willing to change anything about ourselves because somehow, conveniently, there's nothing wrong with us. The problem is out there somewhere. But maybe the thing that needs to be helped and changed is us. You know, sometimes, just to share from my own life, I know as a pastor, I always have to be very cautious to realize, like, you know, I don't have all the answers. I don't know. Sometimes when I'm praying for, like, God to help in the leadership of the church or in what I'm doing, I realize that God is kind of saying, you know, the problem is not out there, Sam. The first thing is you need to come before me and be willing to be changed. And I'm not just sharing that by myself, but this is for all of us. If we really are serious about asking for God's help to change circumstances that we're going through, maybe the first change starts within. And what is that change within? And it's the last point I kind of wanted to focus on. Verse 15 to 16. You see, Jesus is doing all this help, and who is it at the end that is really upset? It is the authorities of the temple. And you know, it's really too bad about Pharisees and authorities of the temple and the scholars. They get a really bad rap. I know growing up, I always just thought of them as really evil people, you know, always sneering, just always the party poopers and stuff like that. But you have to realize these were not that kind of people. They were very sincere. In fact, in a time where people were compromising worship, they were the ones who kept it all together, who tried to stay faithful to the word of God. They were the ones who studied the word of God. They were the ones who tried to keep devotion to God. But in their zeal for keeping the rules for God, they had forgotten the God who made all the rules. And so they forgot about the original spirit of the law. And they looked at these children and they said, man, Jesus, don't you look at them. They're just like running around the temple. They're making a mess. They're so irreverent. Could you silence them? Can you keep them quiet? They were indignant when they heard them shouting out pathetically, Hosanna, God, save us, save us. It was sort of a pitiful sight for them. And they wanted to keep some dignity going for their temple. But the last thing that Palm Sunday should teach us is this, is that God does not come to the dignified. God does not come to the prim and proper. But he comes to those who are helpless like children. We don't know anything else but to ask for help. I remember meeting my nephew for the first time when he visited a couple of weeks ago. And man, that boy loves to eat. He really loves to eat. I mean, you know, but when he doesn't have food, he really knows how to cry. You know, he's like, where's that food? I remember once it was a little too soon for his food and we just gave him a little bit of a bottle to just, you know, be quiet for a little. And then we took it away from him. And then he was freaking out. He's like, what are you doing? Like, I need my food. And he started crying and crying. And I was just thinking about, do we have that sort of desperation before God? That willingness to be helpless before him and say like, hey, help. And the thing is, the world looks at that. And they look at us and they look down on us. And they think, oh, you know, you're just projecting yourself. You're just wishful thinking. You know, what you're doing here at this church, you're just kind of, you know, it's kind of embarrassing, really. Just like the Pharisees, who thought they were so holy and in control and so close to God. But what Palm Sunday tells us is that God does not come close to those who have all got it together, who are all in control. And this is good news for people like me who often feel like I'm in over my head. This is good news for people who struggle with things. This is good news for those who don't have all the answers. Because Palm Sunday, Good Friday, the cross, this is for you. If you come to church kind of not really asking for much more, but kind of some spiritual insight, you're not going to find much. This week is all about learning to ask for help and to know that God is there to help you. It is in these very irreverent children, these children who don't like respectfully follow the lines, but run throughout the temple of God. It is through those people who don't care if it's a donkey or whatever, but just as long as you save us, God. It is in those people who are willing to go beyond comfortable traditions that they will see the face of God. And as we begin this week of Passion, this week of remembering the suffering of Christ, let's turn our eyes to the cross and ask for help like little children. We are not made to survive on our own without the help of God. Easter, the cross, it's for us. It's for those who ask for God's help. So let's surrender our confidences and come to Him. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You that You receive us, You call us, not out of our strength, but out of our weakness. Help us to come to You as little children. Father, we acknowledge that we struggle with so many things in this world. Help us to be willing to admit that we don't have all the answers, but God's salvation is in Your hands. Hosanna, God, would You save us? Would You save us? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this time,